Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Descher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review this week's broadband news. Let's get into it. We'll lead this week with the BEAD program, and there was a lot to talk about. The big picture story is one of progress layered with new complications. On the deployment side, the BEAD program continued to mark meaningful milestones. More states are moving into the subgrantee selection and contract phase, and the map of where federal broadband dollars are heading is becoming much clearer. Even more significant is the celebration of the first actual BEAD deployments. Last Thursday, VistaBeam hosted a media event in Gehring, Nebraska, attended by Governor Jim Pillen and Ariel Roth, who heads up the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, otherwise known, of course, as the NTIA. The invitation said the event would celebrate the Keith County connection that the press release claimed was the first direct connection funded by the BEAD program. Now, the state of Louisiana, which loves to be first on BEAD, sent out a press release saying that actually Nextlink Internet had activated a BEAD-funded tower in Bienville Parish on May 1st, which would bring services to 104 locations. So, BEAD deployment is starting. That is the good news. Challenges, though, are rearing their heads. The first is an issue with subgrant agreements. The NTIA sent a message directly to BEAD subgrantees, telling them to flag any instances where a state has altered required contract language. New Street Research policy advisor Blair Levin wrote a research paper in which he stated that, though the NTIA released the guidance, it suggested that grantees seek legal advice elsewhere. Levin said this could be a recipe for confusion and delay. It could create opportunities for SpaceX's low Earth orbit service Starlink, too, which can deploy quickly and gain customers while states, the NTIA, grantees, and subgrantees hash out what may be litigious and time-consuming issues. The other challenge facing BEAD has to do with pole attachments, an ongoing issue that is going to be magnified by BEAD. A new study was released last week by Broadband Expanded, which is a project of New York Law School's Advanced Communications Law and Policy Institute. The study said BEAD deployment will use nearly 3 million poles owned by utilities. BEAD-related fiber will cross more than 2,000 electric utility service territories, with close to 200,000 route miles of aerial fiber. That means about 40% of all BEAD aerial fiber will cross electric cooperative territories. These poles are governed by attachment rules that are fragmented, contentious, and administered by different entities. The study said that it's common for broadband service providers to encounter higher-than-expected pole costs, including cases in which pole owners attempt to illegally shift curing of pre-existing violations to new attachers. This type of activity can cause delays and hurt projects' financial feasibility. So BEAD is launched, deployments have begun, but there are big questions still on the horizon. Turning to the FCC, the commission approved two significant spectrum transactions this week, both involving EchoStar's holdings. AT&T and Starlink both received FCC approval to purchase portions of EchoStar's spectrum. EchoStar, which has been in financial difficulty for some time, has been working to monetize spectrum assets, and these approvals represent a major step in that process. Together, the two deals total more than $40 billion. AT&T's acquisition adds mid-band capacity that the carrier can use to support its 5G build-out. Starlink's purchase is particularly interesting given the company's trajectory. Starlink has been rapidly expanding its footprint and ambitions, and spectrum holdings that could support terrestrial wireless services would be a meaningful addition to its capabilities. For EchoStar, the sales represent a significant restructuring of its asset base. Also in the Starlink column this week, a new report from Ookla found that the satellite broadband provider is nearing full compliance with FCC broadband performance benchmarks. The FCC's current standard, of course, requires a minimum of 100 megabits per second download and 20 megabits per second upload speeds, along with latency requirements that have historically been a challenge for satellite providers. Ookla's data suggested that Starlink is now meeting or approaching those standards across at least half of the United States. That's a notable finding given how significant of a player Starlink is becoming, especially related to the BEAD program. Spectrum was also a topic at the NTIA this week, but from a different angle. The agency launched a new online resource called spectrum.gov, which is designed to help the public and industry stakeholders better understand spectrum management, allocation, and policy. Spectrum policy has historically been the province of deep technical and regulatory specialists, and making it more accessible and transparent is clearly a goal of the current administration. Spectrum.gov is intended to serve as a clearinghouse for spectrum-related information, as debates over spectrum allocation, including the balance between federal, commercial, and shared use, continue to intensify. On the AI front, this was a busy week, with several stories touching on how artificial intelligence intersects with broadband networks and wireless policy. The CTIA, the trade group representing the wireless industry, published recommendations calling for a unified national approach to AI and wireless development. The group's argument was that a patchwork of state-level AI regulations could create significant barriers to deploying AI-enabled wireless infrastructure and services. The CTIA's position is that federal leadership, rather than a state-by-state approach, would better serve the industry's ability to invest and innovate. This is a debate that is playing out across many technology sectors. Nokia announced agentic AI capabilities for home and broadband networks this week. Agentic AI, of course, refers to systems that can take autonomous, goal-directed actions rather than simply responding to queries. This coming Wednesday in our AI newsletter will feature a great interview about agentic AI that I really recommend you read. Anyway, Nokia said its agentic AI offering will provide conversational interfaces to give technicians and support teams instant access to product knowledge, text, voice, and image guidance to field technicians during surveys and installations, diagnostics to detect degradations and prevent outages, and troubleshooting agents to improve root cause analysis and speed remediation across home and access networks. And STL Partners released two reports recently that dig into the usage and monetization aspects of AI for broadband providers. The first, entitled AI in Telecoms Networks, The State of Play in 2026, featured the results of a global survey that sought to understand adoption of AI in telecom operations and the impact of these capabilities on cost savings and new service launch and revenue. The key finding was that using AI for operations is the biggest return on investment for telcos, at least so far. The second report was entitled How Telcos Generate AI Revenue. It found that infrastructure, platforms, applications, and other enterprise solutions dominate telco AI revenue-generating initiatives because there's a clear short-term expectation of monetization in those areas. A few shorter items to round out the week. A new survey on broadband outages found that customers who experience service disruption want compensation, and they want it without having to fight for it. The survey data showed that most people expect automatic credits or refunds when outages occur, rather than having to contact customer service, open a ticket, and wait. The findings are a useful reminder that customer expectations around service reliability and accountability are rising. As broadband becomes more essential to daily life, the tolerance for both outages and friction-filled resolution processes continues to shrink. On a local note, Maple Broadband in Vermont launched a program called Nonprofit Connect, which is designed to provide discounted broadband service to nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit entities often operate on tight budgets, and connectivity costs can be a real constraint. Maple Broadband's program addresses that directly, and it's the kind of community-oriented initiative that regional providers are often well-positioned to offer. We'll close this week with one more data point worth keeping in mind. A new report found that wireless prices are going down, and that wireless is really one of the only categories in the consumer economy where that is true right now. With inflation running through nearly every other sector, the continued downward pressure on wireless pricing stands out. It reflects intense competition among carriers and MVNOs, and as you've heard us say over the past few weeks, several wireless providers are making cost plays these days. The pressure to compete on price, especially in the wireless sector, is not letting up. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we mentioned today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.